Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Weekend Talk, and welcome back to Enemy Casuals. I am your host, Lucky. Once again, it is just me. I do apologize. We are, I'm in the middle of I'm about to go to California, so this just kind of worked better with everything. So either way, we have a lot to talk about, actually. So just to let you guys know, if any of you guys are new here, basically the Weekend Talk consists of what anime we're talking about each week, all the anime that we're keeping up with weekly, and a lot of it ended, if I'm being honest with you. So we have a lot of figuring out to do. I might actually have to catch up with One Piece, so that'll be fun. Actually, it will be fun, to be honest with you. I haven't caught up with since 1036. So I think I'm like 5 episodes behind or something like that. Either way, we got some good stuff here. I think we're going to keep a similar hype order. If you guys are new here, we do everything in hype order. So the anime that we first talk about is the most hype, and the anime that we last talk about is, sorry, the anime that we first talk about is the least hype, excuse me, and the anime that we talk about last is the most hype. Doesn't mean any of these anime are bad by any means, or else we probably wouldn't be talking about them. So we have Spy Family episode 25. We've got Chainsaw Man episode 12, My Hero Academia season 6 episode 1 and 26, and we have Bleach Thousand Year Blood War episodes 12 and 13. So yeah, we've got two that came out for Bleach. So why don't we get straight into Spy Family? So Spy Family, actually, I'm really excited because we finally get to see Twilight make contact with Donovan. Okay, if we remember, Donovan is the main target here, who, you know, all of this hinges on. And so Twilight being able to make contact with them is fantastic, because we've heard that he is a very secretive person. He is not very a lot of people know too much about him. So I love the fact that we got to see him, see Twilight get to like figure out a little bit more of his personality a little bit. To be honest with you, I think they did a really good job of writing Donovan's character, because for me, I couldn't actually get a read on it. Like, I was trying to do like some Twilight detective search, work here, and I couldn't pick up a beat on him, to be honest with you. Like, he seemed not heartless, but not, very stoic, but not, like, it was very hard to pin him down. So, kind of going before this, right, we have Anya, who convinces Damien, by the way, his name is Damien, I got that right. I was calling him Second Son for a while, but she's gotten Damien, she encourages him to go through with seeing his father and, you know, meeting him, despite the fact that, you know, he was very discouraged, and kind of hooked it up for Twilight, to be honest with you. I'm glad that she did that. And if you think about it, like, even before this, she absolutely paved the way for this by punching Damien, right? That turned out to be a bad thing, right, at first. By the way, one of the cleanest punches I've ever seen in an anime. What a fantastic punch. The look away, salam, right? But either way, I was just so, like, it was so interesting how that looped around to eventually Twilight getting to the point where it's like, oh, you know what? Well, I'm going to apologize for my daughter Anya, and use this to my advantage. So it worked out fabulously. So just goes to show you how good of a spy Twilight is. And once again, like we said, he made contact with Donovan. So, you know, there's a lot to hear. I mean, I don't know if you guys caught anything about Donovan, like any weaknesses, but it seems like he's very, like, no matter who he's dealing with, he will keep his cards close to his chest, which for me, I don't even know what Lloyd got out of that, right? I didn't get anything out of it except for maybe like the fact that he's not completely cold-hearted. He's not completely against his son, Damien, right? But yeah, it was just cool to see Twilight in that headspace. Now, one thing I will say is that I don't feel like we got enough Yor this season, so I would like to see her Take a little bit of front stage next semester, sorry, next I'm still thinking about the school, next season, whenever that is. And personally for me, if they need to take a little bit more time off to let the manga go, I say just let it go. Like even if they don't come back to like next fall or something like that, I don't mind. But yeah, dude, really solid way to end it. It really raised up the stakes for me in terms of everything. Like it really like brings into attention who the main bad guy is, because we really haven't gotten a main bad guy, right? We've gotten like little antagonists. Like we know roughly what this guy represents, but we haven't gotten like a main bad guy, right? And finally getting to meet him is awesome to see. Like actually putting a voice to him, putting a face to him, all that is great. So I'm really excited to see more of that. And like I said, I'd like to see because yours the only one, if I'm being honest with you, she feels the most divorced from this. I use that word a little carelessly there, but she seems a little like the most divorced from this. So if you think about it, right, Lloyd needs Anya to get closer to Damien in order for him to get closer to his dad, right? And Yor is just kind of there to not lead suspicion. So I would like to see her job eventually get intertwined with this. Because that's where I'm kind of leaning towards. Because she's the only one that doesn't really have too much to do with this job. And I like to see her take a little bit more of a front stage. So either way, maybe that's just my bias towards Yor. I mean, Yor is one of my favorite characters from this anime. So she's definitely up there. Anya's pretty close to being to on top though. Like she's such a cool character. But either way, why don't we get into Chainsaw Man episode 12? Oh wait, was there something? Oh, I feel like I'm missing something big here, guys, and I apologize for it. Yeah, I feel like I'm missing something huge here, and I have no idea what it is. Either way, let's just go over to Chainsaw Man episode 12. A lot happened here. We finally get Denji's rematch with the Katana. I was about to say Katana Hero, Katana Devil. And you know what? It's really weird. Like this anime is like debauchery the anime. Like it's got like so much. It kind of just doesn't care. And I think that's a big strong point to the anime. It's got a lot of like Denji is kind of like an anti-hero, right? Like he doesn't stand for anything that anybody else, any other character would. Example would be right, like I knew this was gonna happen, right? When Power decides to go after all the zombies and in the elevator, like she just calls them all out, and Denji's like, I'm just gonna go up to the next floor. I'm not gonna deal with this. So yeah, it was really funny to see that. But yeah, just seeing the all-out battle, all the stakes. Gosh, dude, this That this girl, dude, the girl with I'm just gonna call her high anxiety girl. This girl who was about to kill Denji in like, not too long ago, all of a sudden she's turning out to be like a boss, dude. I want to know what devil she has a contract with, because it is insane what she can do. It's almost like she is, she sneaks up behind this girl, all this other stuff. I'm like, bro. But it was cool to see Aki have his moment with, oh my gosh, I still can't remember Eye Patch Girl's name, but have that moment, right, with Eye Patch Girl. It was interesting to see. I had a feeling something like that might happen, right, since she did give all of herself to the ghost devil. So, but yeah, dude, seeing Aki like finally, just seeing this snake girl finally get what's coming to her. Also, to see her just get absolutely wrecked, right, because of a contract that she made with the Gun Devil. Dude, I really want to see what's next for these guys, right? Like, what's gonna happen next? What's gonna be next for the Gun Devil and everything? But I have to say, dude, the nutshot contest with Denji and Aki against the Katana Devil was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Just having Denji just be like, "Hey, you want to see whoever kicks him in the nuts the and makes him scream the loudest like wins. It's like, what in the world is going on? But that's this anime. That's where I'm like, that's this anime in a nutshell. Like it's so anti other shonen, right? It's like it's not like in that same vein. So really interesting, and I'd like to see what the other. Once again, we got introduced to the violence devil, the angel devil, the shark devil, right? Something like that, and the spider devil. Like I would be interested to see what like a little bit more of what they are. Yeah, dude, I'm really interested. And then we had like this after credit scene with Pochita, where he like Denji's about to open a door, and Pochita's like, never open that door. I don't know about you guys, but I want to see what's behind that door. I want to see what's behind that door. I want to know what's behind that door. I feel like we got some Kyuubi action going on, like some like the Nine Tails with Naruto, like don't open that seal or don't open that door. But I did actually, I should mention a little bit more of the Katana Devil fight. I'm getting it confused with Shield Hero. Katana Devil fight. It was interesting to see Genji use what he's learned from dying so much to just straight up murk the Katana Devil by changing the chainsaws around that would in his body. That's something we knew he could do, but I never saw him do it like that. It was cool how they showed. I don't know if you guys caught the instance where they both met and actually showed Denji kneeing, like th throwing a knee at him. I was like, what? Why did he do that? And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's so sick. So, also knowing that the Katana Devil just can't die is, and Genji, sorry, Denji just can't die. It's very strange. And then we had an introduction to another character talking about, like, would you rather be a country mouse or a house mouse or something like that? A lot of different things. I gotta say, this season. I guess we have to answer the question, right? Did this season live up to the hype? I guess so, but it had a lot of hype around it, dude. Like a lot. And so I haven't read the manga, so I don't know if it lived up to that. But either way, I thought it did a fantastic job, and really, really hope to see. Really, really hope to see it. Just keep going, dude. It is. I really there's a lot of like loose ends where I'm like, I don't know anything about this, and I'd love to see more. So I don't know when that's coming back, but let's go over to My Hero Academia Season 6, Episode 126. So we've got the conclusion of the war arc, or whatever you want to call this arc, finally over, with Compress kind of coming in, talking about his origin story of being the great grand or grandson of a famous thief. And then also hearing a little bit more from Spinner, but I have to say, man, they're always the two. Spinner is definitely at the bottom of the totem pole of that whole group, but Compress is definitely one of the ones where I'm like, you're like right above Spinner, but me and one of my coworkers were talking, like, dude, like I like Twice a lot better, but he had to die. He was way too OP. Excuse me, but. Yeah, either way, showed a lot there. But I mean, at least Compress did come in handy at the very end. But dude, Mirio's not having it, bro. Lamillion just coming in, smacking Compress, and Compress being like, "Wow, I didn't even get to finish my family story." What? So I'm wondering if that's actually going to come in play later. But yeah, dude, I am really interested to see what the future of the villains is, because there's not a whole lot of them left. So, and Shigaraki is enough to make up for that. And I'll be real with you guys, I cannot remember who got captured and who it got away, right? Like I thought Makia is still captured, but I can't remember off the top of my head, if I'm being honest with you. What was I gonna say? Yeah, there's a lot that happens in here, dude, where I'm like, oh man, obviously the Nomus come in, they come save everything. Some of it's really foggy though. I just remember the last part, one of the last parts where Midoriya is going after All for One, or sorry, Shigaraki, and trying to stop him still, and All for One calls them useless Midoriya. So I'm interested to see what Deku has to do to get to that level, right? Because he's not that far from him, but he's just far enough to the point where if he can't, Because Shigaraki, the problem with him now is that he's got a body that can withstand multiple attacks from One For All, which is kind of One For All's thing, right? One For All's thing is that he can't, or All Might's thing, right, was the fact that he could put All For One through all this punishment. But the problem with it is now Shigaraki's got a scientifically enhanced body. So what is Deku going to do with that, right? He's just going to get stronger. I mean, obviously he has more quirks now. I would be interested to see. Also, a new quirk was introduced, the danger quirk, the danger sensing quirk. So, interested to see if that can counter Shigaraki's radar quirk that he got from the radar cat doll. I don't remember what her name is, but yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the fallout's going to be, right? Who's dead? What's going to happen with all these people? I would like to see Endeavor pass the torch. Yes, I use that as a pun to Todoroki in the sense of giving him the teaching him some more moves, maybe so that he can stop Dabi. It'll be interesting to see, or Dabi, or what's his name? Toya. But yeah, dude, there's so much that got introduced now that I'm like, oh, we're gonna have to go into some of the slower parts, which isn't bad, right? I feel like we're gonna get a lot more exposition and a lot more understanding of what's going on. Probably more in the case of the villains, but we'll see how that goes. Either way, solid episode, solid end to this whole thing. I think we're still gonna get another episode after this, so. I w can't wait to see how it wrapped up. And by the way, I know I'm probably butchering this. I saw it a little too long ago to remember some of the finer details. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But we got to talk about Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, don't we? We got to talk about it. Episodes 12 and 13. We got a double whammy here, and we finally get to the part where I wanted to talk about. Because this was something that's been bothering me for so long. Because I'm like, dude, I can't wait till somebody sees this. I can't wait till the first one was the Zaraki Kenpachi bit. But the other one was knowing the secret behind Zangetsu. So we got the end of the story from Ichigo's father, and we've gotten to the point where Ichigo is picks his well, first off, I guess we should talk about the end of that story. So we figure out that Yawak, and by the way, I feel like I'm just saying his name wrong because I keep hearing it like Yawaha or whatever. But Yawak is basically gets to choose who keeps their powers and who doesn't. And that day when Ichigo's mom was trying to take on this Hollow, she got her powers revoked from Yawak. And so, which kind of explains why like Yawak is able to give people's powers, right? He's assigning people different letters of the alphabet. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting to see all of that take place. We've got the beginnings of Ishida's parents as well, because I feel like Ishida is such an underused property in Bleach that I really am glad that we're starting to see a little bit. We'll talk about the twist at the end too, but just seeing his parents like get a nod and everything is really, really cool, and kind of figuring out why. What was I gonna say? Ishin, is that his name? Ichigo's dad? Why Ishin was in hiding all those years? It wasn't really that he was in hiding. It's just that he had to give up his Shinigami powers before his mother, for Ichigo's mother. Which I'm trying to think now, right? Because I'm like, he probably could have turned back to his Soul Reaper form a lot sooner than that. But either way. But yeah, I really like how it kind of showed everything, and we kind of got to see what Ichigo's mom was like. I really wish that we would have seen a little bit more of her throughout the series, but I feel like this kind of goes. I'm not going to spoil too much about it. It kind of has a parallel with Naruto's mom. I really wish we would have seen more of her too. But either way, we got a lot in there. So then Ichigo goes back. He picks his Zanpakuto, which ends up taking the form of his Hollow, which I was like, bro, this is awesome. I like that he's finally starting to take on that that's now his power, right? And then we figure out that Zangetsu, old man Zangetsu, has been Yuwak this whole time, and that Yuwak has been he's been wanting to not give him his full power because he's always been afraid that he would have to fight him one day. So it was a cool little like send off, right? Now, one thing I would be interested in, I don't know if you guys can tell me whether or not Zangetsu has always had the same voice actor, because it doesn't sound like it, but maybe it, I can't remember him always sounding like that, but I remember growing up with the English version, so I don't know. But yeah, dude, I really like that twist. I thought it was always interesting to me. And I really like the fact that the hollow form has always been, you know, it's true. It's always been the thing that's been helping out Ichigo the most. So it's always the one saving him, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm digging it, dude. I'm loving everything about a Thousand Year Blood War. I can see why everybody's rating it so high. And we also got to see a little bit of some of the captains going into, I don't know if this was this episode or the last episode. Seeing two episodes all in one kind of throws me off a little bit. But we see Hitsugaya go back to learning kendo, right? Like going back to kendo school and truly learning because he's lost his bunkai. And I love the fact that he's decided, like, oh, you know what? Since I'm not gonna have it, I might as well just keep getting stronger with my swordsmanship, right? And I love that. And then we get to see, can't remember his name off the top of my head, but we get to see the dog guy, Captain Kiba. No, I don't think that's his name, but I think Kiba's his like lieutenant. But we get to see him go to the Great Elder Dog person. To learn some type of secret technique, okay? Let me know what you guys think that secret technique is. I will say that I do know it, but either way, let me know what you guys think that technique might be. That's very interesting. But I do like the fact that you know, this all kind of comes around, because if you guys remember, we first saw him as somebody just in a helmet, right? Very ashamed of what he looked like, and now we see him, you know, not donning the helmet, and now he's a very proud member of the 13 Gotei squads, the Gotei 13 now. And so, yeah, dude, I'm interested to see how this kind of goes along. But then we get to see this awesome scene with Ichigo making his now two Zanpakutos. I love it, dude. I love it. I don't remember if this is exactly like one is supposed to be like his Quincy powers, and one is supposed to be his hollow powers. But yeah, dude, I'm digging the new Zanpakuto. I do kind of miss Zangetsu a little bit, like the original Zangetsu, but I mean, I by the way, I already knew this was all going to happen, but I do like the fact that he's dual wielding now. I love it. I just want to see it. I can't wait for the what was I going to say? Fight scenes with it, because I've always liked the two. What's the first the now the number one captain, the head captain of the Gotei 13 now. I don't remember the guy with the eye patch now. Like he has two Zanpakutos. So I was like, oh dude, this would be awesome to see Ichigo like get to that point, right? So yeah, I'm really interested to see. I'm really interested to see what Renji ends up getting. That I actually really don't remember. So, but yeah, dude, I am really stoked about. I don't know when this is coming back. This was supposed to be its season finale, I think, or some type of send-off. So I'm really interested to see what they do with Thousand Year Blood War. I've been really impressed with what they've been doing with Bleach. And let's talk about it. We got to talk about it. Ishida is now a part of the Quincy. Well, he's always been part of the Quincy's, but now he's part of the Quincy's. What rank will he take? Is he really part of the Quincy's? Is he against the Quincy's because of, you know, maybe his father's vendetta against the, like what is his, you know, how does he view the Quincy? So I'll be interested to see, you know, what happens with Ishida. And I, like I said, I think he's such a criminally underused character, but seeing him basically take the Sasuke route in some ways is pretty awesome, actually. I like the fact that he's doing that. And if anything, he's probably like the most Quincy out of all those Quincys. Like all the Quincys, none of them have like the regular like arrow thing. Like that was what the Quincys were known for. And for Ishida to come in and be like, hey, I have arrows, okay? Even Yuwak has like a giant sword. Like it's not an arrow, dude. That's what I knew Quincy's for, was the arrow thing. It's a bow and arrow. So either way, I cannot wait to see it happen, dude. And whatever Kurochiki, whatever his name is, the captain of the research division, whatever he's working on, I don't want to know. We'll figure that out later. Either way, guys, hopefully you enjoyed this. Once again, we'll try and figure out what's going on with the weekend talk next week. Probably sift through some things. Remember, you can check out All Things Casual at the link tree in the info box. Also, if you'd like to email us, you can email us at animecasuals with an S, real R-A-A-L, at gmail.com. But as always, guys, don't forget to keep it casual.